Welcome back to our Fellowship and Hospitality mini course. And we have completed the fellowship side.
Mm-hmm.
And now we move on to the hospitality side of the class. In many ways, these are two very important related topics.
Yeah, they truly are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like sisters. One deals with the people you already know.
Fellowship of believers,
And one deals with people you may not know or do not know well.
And may not know Christ.
Yeah, that's right. It could be actually, it's for, let's say in the mission, you meet someone and you're going to share your home with them and they're in Christ, that would still be considered New Testament hospitality.
Right.
But it also includes being hospitable and welcoming people who don't know Christ yet.
Right, right. So while you're a welcoming place.
Right. So, well, I guess let's just get started and see where this goes.
Sounds good.
First of all.
Hospitality, sharing friendship with strangers and the potential future partners.
Hmm. So sharing friendship with people you do not know or that are newer to you as potential partners.
Right.
Or newer to you if you know they're in Christ, or maybe newer to you. Maybe that's another way to put it.
Right, right.
So it's from the Greek word philoxenia.
Philoxenia.
So philo means Greek for friend, mm-hmm. like Philadelphia. Xenia is xenia, is stranger. It means stranger, odd one. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Odd one. Foreigner. Guest, newcomer. The verb xenizo, which is from that root, means to be strange,
or
be interesting, or to entertain. Kind of related, isn't it? So, and then we see an example of that verse, that verbal sense.
Verse 20.
You are bringing some strange ideas
to our ears, and we want to know what they mean.
So, in some ways, that in that passage, that strange ideas is probably some interesting ideas.
Right.
You know, ooh, what a hair. The debtor are raised.
Yeah.
That's
wow.
strange. And interesting. Yeah. We never heard about that before. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's kind of at the very core meaning of hospitality.
Yes.
So, let's look at how
hospitality and the human relationship approach is what we're looking at here.
Mm-hmm. So how does the world think of hospitality?
Right.
The human nature is to form cliques and stay within your circles. New people are allowed to be in the circle based on what they how they will specifically benefit the group. People who are not part of the group are distrusted. So even a hospitality industry, it's a pay for exchange.
Right.
I get a hotel.
I give you something, you give me something back. Kind of
right.
Thing.
And a lot of times, other times when people introduce people to someone, it's because they're some way going to benefit the group.
Right.
And actually, the Roman view, look at that, was very similar. The Roman Empire view, live with strangers, but make no effort to get to know them unless they have a patron.
Somebody who will sponsor them to get noticed.
You know what's fascinating about this, Kim, that the Apostle Paul knew how the Roman Empire worked, and somebody like Phoebe in Romans chapter 13 says that, well, first of all, she was a deacon and a minister. She was the carrier of the book, Romans 13.
Okay.
She was the letter carrier as a minister. She carried the Roman letter, and the letter carrier would explain things that the writer was thinking about. So all of those things. But then it says, read that whole Romans 16 chapter, chapter 16, verse 1 there. And 2.
I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me.
Now, the Greek word
for
the word
patron?
Help There's, is patron.
That's what I thought.
In other words, she was an introducer.
She was
She was a hospitality maker.
Right.
She would go out there and introduce
She said, hey, you need to know this person.
Right, because the way the Greek world operated, you needed a patron to be introduced.
Right.
So she was an introducer.
So she was,
Very, very interesting. Well, how does the Bible understand hospitality?
The Old Testament showed an openness to strangers, the people
that you don't know.
Yeah, that you don't know.
Whether it's aliens or whether it's people who weren't even part of the faith.
There was a closeness to any ideas or worldviews that mocked God or and people who held to that.
Right.
But there was a strong belief in the power of the practice of hospitality.
I find it interesting that they were very open, but not to capitulating their actual beliefs. They were not open to someone who would contest faith in God.
Right.
You want to get our dog? Well,
no, it's fine.
Monty, come on, Monty. Come on, Monty. Yeah, we'll do this right in the video. He wants to go by you. Come on. A little bit
come
of
on, bud. Here. Come here. Okay. You're wandering around
he's
in the
we'll
studio
make
here.
Come over here. So we're inviting him back to our little fellowship here.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's an interesting passage that talks about this.
In 2 Kings 6, 17 through 22. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria.
Now, what has this to do with hospitality? Let's look and see what this passage has to do with hospitality.
I was wondering that first when I started reading it, but okay. I do know where it's going. After they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria, which was the capital city. They're in the enemy. They're surrounded by enemies now, instead of them being the surrounders. And when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Well, hospitality went a long way.
Well, and I think so much is true. If we reflect on our ministry, you know, if your neighbor doesn't know the Lord and is an enemy of the gospel, and you invite them into Samaria, so figuratively speaking, into your home where the Lord...
Right.
I remember this one time we invited a professor in of one of our children, and we invited
him
from the community college,
he
was not a believer. His wife was not a believer. And he was surprised when we asked him to our house. In fact, he was not only not a believer, he was an enemy. He was an atheist, self-proclaimed atheist.
Right.
So we had him come in. We had food. And then we went through the whole meal. And then, it's our custom, we Christians, that we read a Bible verse and say a prayer. Oh, okay. He wanted to be with the indigenous Christians and pray with them. So, of course, he didn't pray, but we asked permission. He was very much...
He was okay with us.
So we read like a couple Bible verses, and then we prayed. Now, we thought that's the little witness. Instead, all night, he talked about God and about his children and about how they were far from... like living a lifestyle that was sustainable, you know, and we had an opportunity to witness all evening because he came into Samaria and was food was set before him, hospitality.
Right.
Now, God takes us from there in many cases, but at least he met Christian who opened up their home to him and offered him food and said a little prayer and had a friendly regard, and who knows what God can do with
right.
that.
Right.
So.
In the New Testament, hospitality was, Christians shared also the dislike for any foreign attack on God, but the love of the xenos, the stranger. And it's a special form of love to your neighbor.
Okay, so we see the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. You know, we have read the Good Samaritan just lots and lots and lots of times, even preached messages on the Good Samaritan. And I find the Good Samaritan is fascinating because really Jesus, he's questioned by the Pharisees about neighbor and love and all that.
Right.
And then he tells the story. It is a powerful story. It's a strange story. An interesting, a xenos story.
Right.
And it's the Samaritan who is the good neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot of hospitality himself, the Samaritan of the story.
Right. He puts him on his own donkey, brings him to the inn, and has him taken care of there, pays for that. And yeah, he offered a lot of hospitality, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then Matthew 25:43-45. This one, go ahead and read that a minute.
I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whenever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.
Jesus is the stranger.
Right.
That's powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Jesus is the stranger. So if you're not welcoming to one of the least of these, you're not welcoming to Jesus.
Yeah.
Powerful. Powerful, powerful stuff.
Yes. Hospitality, sharing friendship or partnership with strangers.
Well, back to our theme verse, Romans 12, verse 13. Distribute koinonia to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. That's philoxenia. What does the Bible say about the practice of hospitality and given to hospitality? Or 1 Peter 4, verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling.
Mm-hmm.
So, given to hospitality. What does given to hospitality mean to you?
That is a natural thing for you to do, kind of in my mind.
Yeah,
it's natural. Like, oh yeah, hey, come on.
Yeah, you're defined by hospitality.
Let's have a meal together, or let's share a cup of tea and a little snack, or whatever your hospitality mode is.
Right. Well, it's fascinating, too, that it's a little bit of an idiomatic phrase in Greek. Actually, the word didasko is the word given, and then it applies given to philoxenia. So it puts it together, and given would be, it almost borders on, you don't really say it this way, but obsessed, OCD, like it's a high priority that it's like given to being a welcoming person. And again,
it's a nature. Yeah.
Given. But the word given means that it's probably a learned thing too.
Right.
Because it's not something we naturally would do, but it's something that we cultivate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when we first started ministry, I remember you and I being called to ministry, and one of the things you did not like is the calling to ministry specifically in meeting new people. You liked every part of it, but actually...
Right, we touched on that a little bit earlier on.
How did you get over some of that?
Well, I really wasn't against it. It was just more scary to be.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to.
Yeah, you were 100% on board.
I
don't want to mischaracterize
it. Yeah,
you were 100% on board.
I was not against it. I just, it scared me. It was more threatening to me as far as just I was very shy, and I always, but I realized that it didn't matter through the Holy Spirit. I mean, He really showed me that it wasn't about whether they like me or if I come across okay. I mean, if I'm just trusting in Him and just offering friendly hospitality, that will come across the right way.
Well, you know, now in my struggle with the sneaking around and the fellowship side, and you know, some of my fellowship manners were weak in comparison to her fellowship manners. So it's fascinating. Like, I had some growing to do in the fellowship side.
All right. We helped each other.
We helped each other.
Good partnership.
But it really was the Lord.
It was actually not taking ourselves too seriously. Yeah.
We really had to sort
and
of...
And being open to be able to, you know, right. not being against it.
Right. Right. I know.
I was not against it.
Well, you know, the word given also means that, you know, like you're actually allowing yourself to grow in the
right.
area. I have been given more.
Being open to the whatever the wherever and whatever the Holy Spirit leads for you to do is really key.
So we've talked now about hospitality in the biblical view. Next, we're going to talk about how it was actually practiced in the early church. So, you know, to sum up today is basically saying, look, hospitality is not something that is just an option, but it's something that's core to being a believer. And actually, the hospitality verse that trumps all verses is, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. In a sense, that alone is saying,
right.
like, you know,
because you're going to fellowship with them.
You got to go get them. Yeah. Or, you know, or the gospel will be proclaimed to all nations.
Which will be, yeah.
You know, I even think about, you know, in doing this mini class, I think about all our promotion in online to get people to sign up for ministry training courses is a welcoming in. We're welcoming mm-hmm. in strangers. You.
Yeah.
Oh, but they're not a stranger, are they? Well. Strange stuff.
Well, they're unknown to us or new to us, but mm-hmm. because we have the Lord in common, they are part of the fellowship of believers. So we
right.
have that deeper fellowship with
right.
them.
Right. So they're not strange as odd, they're strange as interesting.
Yeah, unknown. We
unknown.
Just don't personally know them yet, and now we are getting to.
So we're getting to know you.
Yeah, and you're
so
getting
to come in.
Yeah.
And
welcome.
And welcome.